Hello and welcome aboard this podcast of RTÉ Radio 1's maritime programme Seascapes, which is presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email the programme seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard Seascapes, your maritime programme. This week, we visit the Ivora Peninsula, where Rona Tarrant talks to naturalist, seafarer and wildlife filmmaker Vinnie Hyland. We'll be hearing from Gerry Flynn about what's in the latest edition of Inshore Ireland magazine, and David Dinsmore and the Irish Angler. First on Seascapes this week, to the news of this year's CH Marine Glandor Classic Regatta. Seascapes spoke to Donald Lynch a few days ago about some of the classic craft that are destined for the beautiful port of Glandor later this summer, with one particular classic making an appearance.
That's right, the Jolly Breeze, a name to be conjured with, the winner of the first Fastnet in 1925. She's not like a modern yacht so much. She was a Le Havre pilot cutter, adapted to be a yacht. And she's celebrating the centenary of her build this year. Anyone who thinks their boat is a classic, we'll accept them. So there are glass fibre classics, there are all sorts of classics. But it's more than that in other ways, because there's the Glandor welcome, which is what people always come back to us about. They say that's what makes it different. And this year we're welcoming the Jolly Breeze, which has, it's really a school that owns that boat, and it uses it for the youth on the school to cruise and sail in. And they're doing, they're going to go around the Fastnet this year, and we're organising a race for them, you could say, in a way. Glandor, you know, that's what started it off way back in 1994, the idea. Isn't this a fantastic arena to watch beautiful boats in? And it grew out of that, and it's really, it's prospered ever since. So it is, under the village there's nowhere better to watch boats. CH Marine are Glandor, really. The Bendon family come from Glandor. They're CH Marine, and we're delighted to have them as our name sponsor. And we have other sponsors as well. We're running this on a tight enough budget, as befits the times. So the CH Marine anchor is really good to have there. So what we're trying to do, particularly this year, is to have something for everybody. We have something on the water for people who are competing, but we have events for, you know, non-competitors, and we know in the past they came and they watched and they were happy enough, but we're organising a few special events for them, little cruises and things, island picnic. And for people ashore, where we have a whole programme of, they're based around walks, but they're just walks for exercise, long, medium and short walks, but there's also a historic walk and there's a nature walk, and they'll be going on throughout the week. There's a concert. Jimmy Crowley is coming, he's giving a concert. There'll be other events as well that will develop as time goes on. Watch the website is what I say.
And we might give listeners the website address, but also the date on which the regatta is happening.
Oh yes, the dates. The website address is www.glandoryc.com/classic. glandoryc.com/classic. And the dates are from Saturday the 20th to Friday the 26th of July. And the opening weekend is really, you could say it'll almost start on Friday, because we have a special thing this year. We have five Bantry longboats coming. And I don't know people who know the Bantry longboats, 13 of a crew, 3 masts, 10 oars, a whole load of youth crew, a whole load of competitions which are based on traditional seamanship. Very, very interesting to watch for people on shore as well. And they'll be there, and their main competitions will be on the Saturday and the Sunday of the opening of the regatta, the 20th and 21st of July. They've shown their resilience in all sorts of weather. And we have, as I say, five crews. We have four from Ireland, three from the south of Ireland, Bantry, Cork, Shinbara, Waterford. We have Loch Ney, Antrim. And then we have Integrity from the UK. So it'll be a really good sort of injection of youthful energy into the whole thing, I think.
Now, one of the big featured stars is obviously the vessel, the Jolly Breeze, which, as you said, participated in the Fastnet in the 20s. But there will be a number of other beautiful craft there, no doubt.
Oh, there will. I mean, we're delighted to be welcoming back, for instance, Solway Mage. She's a beautiful Fife boat, which was there a long time ago now. She came a few times and then has been absent. We're also getting Blue Leopard, which was there, I think, in 2003. She's a fabulous boat. We're getting a load of boats. We're getting the Fife One designs from the Menai Straits, a lovely fleet of classic boats designed by William Fife, who've been coming and having great fun with us and providing great spectacle for a number of years.
The Irish Sailing Association has announced an 8-sailor squad that will represent Ireland at the 43rd ISAF Youth Sailing World Championships this summer. Last year, this country hosted the event in Dunleare. The team of 5 boys and 3 girls will compete across 3 different classes at what is described as the most prestigious international youth sailing event. It will take place this year in Limassol in Cyprus from the 13th to the 20th of July. Only one male and one female place was offered in each class, and the contenders had to meet both international standards as well as win their category at the ISA Youth National Championships in April in order to be selected. In the laser radial class, Ireland will have male and female representatives, both hailing from Northern Ireland. Robbie Gilmore from Belfast had met the international standard along with 8 other male sailors prior to the ISA Youth Nationals. And in the girls' category, Sarah Eames from Lisburn, a nominee for ISA Youth Sailor of the Year last year, was triumphant, beating her nearest female rival, Surika Nisuluan, by 8 points and thus earning her a place on the Youth Worlds team. Ireland will also have both male and female representatives in the two-person 420 class, with Robert Dixon and Sean Wadilove from Dublin, and in the girls' category, a young Cork pairing, Cliona Nisuluan and Jill McGinley, were the surprise winners. The girls, although incredibly talented sailors, were much younger than their opponents and had set their sights on 2014. However, they dominated throughout the regatta and ultimately beat the Dublin MacDowell cousins, who had been tipped for the place. The final team to earn their place for the second year in a row are brothers Sean and Tadhg Donnelly from Dublin. They'll be competing in the 29er class, where they will hope to improve on their 10th overall finish at last year's event, which was held on Dublin Bay. When most people think of the Ring of Kerry, the chances are they don't think of toads and slugs. But they're as much a part of life on the Iveragh Peninsula as the mountains and the lakes. As Rona Tarrant found out when she travelled to Caherdaniel to meet up with Vincent Hyland for Seascapes.
And what we're watching here is we're watching a male vocalising to attract the females.
A lot of interesting conversations happen in Kerry.
So possibly the guy who has the loudest call wins. Maybe the females all come over to him and he gets his way and more toads are produced. And we have another year of toads then, you know.
And for the last few years, Vincent Highland has been recording them.
To our left then, we've got Scariff Island and Deanish Island. They're very important breeding sites for seabirds, including petrels. And at night, if you're there in the middle of the night, the shearwaters come in from fishing at sea. They go, they travel about maybe 400 or 500 miles from here out to sea to forage for fish, and they come back to their nesting sites, which are holes in the ground. And in order to find where their mate is, they call.
He's only been living here for a few years, but so far, he's recorded some of the most amazing sights and sounds of South Kerry.
I think it's ancient. You know, this kind of, you're immersed in this kind of ancient valley, and there's, you're surrounded by, behind you, you've got Stag Fort, you know, which is thousands of years old, and then you've got the ocean, the power of the Atlantic Ocean, and it all just seems to come into this really lush subtropical valley with the most beautiful woods. And that, to me, when I was a kid, just took such a hold of me that the magnetism made me come back and want to live here for the rest of my life, you know, and contribute something positive then to people's understanding of how beautiful Kerry is.
I've met him on a wet and windy day here in Carradaniel to find the inspiration behind his work.
Will we go out and have a look?
Let's do it.
Yep. We're fortunate here to have some of the rare Kerry plants, the rare Irish plants. Like, we've got the Kerry lily, which grows on Abbey Island, which we're going to walk over to. We have the Kerry slug, which is a black slug with white dots on it. We've got various other animals, including the natterjack toads, which they mate down here. They live in the sand dunes, in holes in the sand dunes. So we've got three of those species right in the environment here. If you just look in through the water here now, look at all the frog spawning there. Do you see it?
I see it.
Yeah. And that's the magic of nature, is that you could be just standing here and looking at the water and say, and walk away and not have seen anything.
He's filmed everything from dolphins to jackdaws, and now he's brought his expertise to teaching the next generation.
We're down here now at Derrynane Sea Sports, and this is where the environmental school is. And we've been running it now for the last 3 years. And just, it's the combination of, you know, learning how to sail, to windsurf. I set up a fish tank here, and we populated then with different types of small little fish and crabs and crustaceans and anything we find really when we're out rock pooling.
As we walk along the beach, you can see why conservation is a big part of the education.
And we're just, I've just picked up a few samples here. There's pieces of plastic bottles, there's pieces of nylon fishing line, there's pieces of trawling. A lot of the fish, including mackerel, for instance, including I've seen wrasse and pollock, I've seen basking sharks. They eat all of this stuff. They eat the plankton, but in the plankton now is plastic. So when that goes into their bodies, it gets absorbed, and the chemicals that are harmful in that actually get transferred into the meat itself, the fish meat that we eat. And this is becoming a real health issue.
And among the seaweed and plastic, Vincent has one last find before we head back to the car.
It's a heart urchin, and it actually lives below the sand. A sea potato is another word for it. And it has loads of hairs. And so when you see it moving at night, particularly, because I film these at night, they kind of come out of their burrow in the sand, and they just crawl along the sand.
He's a geologist and filmmaker, and thanks to these combined passions, you don't have to travel to Kerry to experience its sights and sounds anymore.
Everybody comes here and they say, they look out, for instance, at the beautiful view along the Evora Peninsula or the Dingle Peninsula, Slay Head out to the Blaskets. And they're just in awe at the beauty of the place. But isn't it nice to be able to have a digital interactive book that would enable them to be able to interpret some of that, like maybe the wildflowers or the shells along the seashore, or even some of the animals, the birds that fly, the dolphins that swim.
Rona Tarrant speaking to Vincent Hyland from Derrynane. And to find out more about his work on marine and wildlife in Kerry, you can visit www.ayearinkerry.com, or you can see his film Wild Atlantic Way, A Year in Kerry, each day at Chuck Amargan in Waterville. Next here on Seascapes, to our Galway studios, where we can hear from features editor of Inshore Ireland magazine on what's in the latest edition. Here's Gerry Flynn.
The importance of observing safety in the maritime environment is a common theme throughout the April-May issue of Inshore Ireland. Recalling the tragic deaths of five of its crew of six when the trawler T. Bonhomme ran aground and sank near Glandore Harbour in January 2012, our lead story reveals that the Irish South and West Fish Producers Organisation has questioned the Marine Casualty Investigation Board's conclusion that the single overriding causal factor is considered to be insufficient rest for the crew, and that the regulations on hours of work and rest appear not to have been complied with. Despite this, the IWPSO says it agrees with the MCIB's recommendation to install bridge navigation watchkeeping alarm systems on board fishing vessels should now be implemented. We quote Eileen O'Sullivan, CEO of the Irish South and West, saying that as part of the Marine Survey Office Code of Compliance, which every vessel must adhere to, every skipper is aware of his obligations in relation to crew rest periods. And in a tribute to the late Michael Hayes, who skippered the Tibonhomme, she says he was a highly qualified skipper who showed considerable leadership and bravery during the incident, distributing life jackets to the crew following the grounding of the vessel. On page 3, Gillian Mills notes in a comment piece that the function of the Marine Casualty Investigations Board is to carry out investigations into marine casualties occurring in Irish waters, and that its main purpose is to establish the cause of an incident with a view to making recommendations to the Minister for Transport to avert future marine casualties. It is not the purpose of the investigation to attribute blame or fault, she writes. Safety at Sea surfaces again on page 10, highlighting a new training guide from board the Skiwara, which includes details on key subjects such as personal flotation devices, abandoned ship, and helicopter rescue and hypothermia. We quote BIM's chief executive Jason Hooley saying that the Irish fishing sector has suffered too many tragic incidents in recent years, so it is imperative that fishermen and aquaculture personnel who have not already done so complete their safety training to help prevent any further lives lost at sea. Finfish aquaculture and the increasingly polarised arguments for and against siting a deepwater salmon farm in Galway Bay occupies a full 3 pages in this issue. Our coverage opens with a well-structured argument by Tony Lowes of the Friends of the Irish Environment that by proceeding with this project, Ireland is in fact breaching a moratorium on the further expansion of salmon farming until the lice issue is satisfactorily addressed. In a robust counter-argument, Donal Maguire, head of BIM's Aquaculture Development Division, denies that a moratorium was ever imposed on the further expansion of salmon farming. He explains that following a strategic environmental assessment, an agreement was reached between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Communications not to extend financial assistance to the marine side of salmon farming because of concerns raised by the latter. It was just a gentleman's agreement between both departments, says Maguire. This feature also includes well-argued pieces opposing the BIM proposal from Noel Carr of the Federation of Irish Salmon and Sea Trout Anglers, Scotland's Sky Group against unsustainable fish farming, and Alec O'Donovan, Secretary of the Save Bantry Bay Group. We balance these with a strong letter in support of sustainable salmon farming signed by 43 Irish-owned seafood businesses from counties Galway, Mayo, Sligo, Limerick, Cork and Donegal, advocating the need for Ireland to increase its production of farmed salmon to meet the demands of overseas buyers. This topic seems destined to run and run. All this and much more in a packed April-May edition of Inshore Ireland.
Running down to Cuba for a load of sugar. Way me boys to Cuba. Make a run, you lime juice squeezers. Running down to Cuba. Way me boys to Cuba. Make a run, you lime juice squeezers. Running down to Cuba. Running down to Cuba with a press of sail. Way me boys to Cuba. Slinging the water all over the rail. Running down to Cuba. Way me boys to Cuba. Slinging the water all over the rail. Running down to Cuba. I got a girl, she's a 9 feet tall. Way me boys to Cuba. Sleeps in the kitchen with her feet in the hall. Running down to Cuba. Way me boys to Cuba. Sleeps in the kitchen with her feet in the hole. Running down to Cuba. Can she bake or can she clean? Way me boys to Cuba. Can she play the tambourine? Running down to Cuba. Way me boys to Cuba. Can she play the tambourine? Running down to Cuba. Can she clean or can she bake? Way me boys to Cuba. Can she make a saffron cake? running down to Cuba. Way me boys to Cuba, can't she make a saffron cake? Running down to Cuba.
Running Down to Cuba from Pat Sheridan, a halyard shanty sung on the East Coast run to the West Indies. A number of tall ships are voyaging from Belfast to Dublin at the end of this month for the New Dublin Port River Festival on the June Bank Holiday weekend. It's being organised by the Dublin Port Company, and you can sign up to crew on a tall ship from Belfast to Dublin. The ships will leave Belfast on the 28th of May and arrive in Dublin on the 31st. You will then stay on board for a night in Dublin to enjoy the festivities. There are a good number of berths still available on board the ships during this voyage for anyone who would like to experience life at sea on a traditional tall ship. 16 to 98 years are accepted. No experience needed. Sail Training Ireland can assist you in coordinating your voyage or visiting the ships while in port. The full cost of the voyage is €345, including meals and accommodation. You can get those details by visiting the Sail Training Ireland website. Now on Seascapes to Westport, where we can talk to David Dinsmore, editor of Irish Angler magazine, on what's in the latest edition.
Yes, Marcus, the current edition, the May issue, is packed as usual with features from some of Ireland's top anglers. Particularly on the cover this month, we have a very striking photograph of a wrasse and an article about novel techniques using what are called soft plastics for wrasse fishing, which is a very new innovative technique and enables you to catch wrasse in places where perhaps you might not otherwise have been able to fish for them in where there's a lot of seaweed and other tight spots. And so that's quite an interesting piece and very new. We've also got a piece on sea trout fishing from Scandinavia and the techniques that they use there, float-fished herring, which is again quite interesting, and that's by a Scandinavian lady angler, Emma Becker-Hawkinson. Paddy MacDonald, the famous Moy Gilly, is talking about how to play a salmon, which some people often have difficulty with, but he talks about the correct techniques and getting the reel set and things like that. And there's a video clip accompanying that. The famous matchman, Cahill Hughes, continues his series on match fishing with a look at using particular pole techniques. And Al Rawlings, who's a very famous pike angler, looks at how you can improve your pike catches on the big Irish lochs by using a bait boat, which was quite interesting to me when you see one of these little boats setting out across a massive loch, you'd wonder how it stayed afloat. But Al has developed many techniques and they've proved to be quite effective in helping improve his pike catches. I mean, all the major hatches now are sort of several weeks behind, but the reports I'm getting in suggest that things are starting to pick up now. Certainly the salmon fishing, Beltra has been fishing quite well, and I just heard the other day that Carramore had started, but of course it's such a shallow lake that when you get any kind of a wind it stirs it up and the fishing goes off again. But certainly reports are starting to come in from all over the country now that finally there is some life about, and Sheelin particularly, Sheelin guiding services are getting some fantastic fish. And down in Cork on Inishgara Reservoir, they're getting some fantastic pike catches, fly fishing for pike with Fly Fishing Ireland down there, and they're doing really well. Some fantastic photographs appearing on their Facebook page. So it does seem that finally things are starting to take off, which is welcome news for anglers and tackle shops throughout the country.
Now, you launched a new app, Orasma, with the last edition of Irish Angler. How has that taken off?
It's going quite well. Obviously, people are gradually getting to know about it and downloading it. We've got several clips again this month. The front cover shows me telling you what's inside the magazine. And then Paddy MacDonald has a clip showing you how to play salmon. And we've also got a rod test where the Irish international boat angler Heiko Dreyer is demonstrating the rod in action, and the rod is bent into almost a circle as he lands a 9-pound pollock. So that's quite an effective demonstration of the rod's capabilities. So it's that kind of thing that we're able to do with the technology to bring the magazine to life and add a bit extra for readers. We've got the famous fly tyer Peter Dunne reveals his so-called Dirty Dozen, the 12 flies for the season that he wouldn't be without. And Peter McGrory looks forward to planning your shore fishing season and what you can expect. Jim Clohessy talks about methods of getting afloat on a budget, how you can sort of, not necessarily in a big boat like a dinghy, but other means of actually becoming more effective, getting out to sea, like kayaks and small ribs and things like that. So that's basically what we've got. Also, of course, not forgetting that Fisheries Awareness Week starts tomorrow. And there are events all over the country run by Inland Fisheries Ireland in conjunction with clubs and other groups. And you can find all that on the website, faw.ie. And there's masses of events happening everywhere. And that's a great opportunity to get people into angling, both young and old, and look out for events in your own area.
You can find out more about Irish Angler and the many other items on this edition of Seascapes on our website, which is www.rte.ie/radio1/seascapes. Next Friday night, here on Seascapes, the latest news on the lifeboats. We'll hear from Norman Freeman, author of Sea Spray and Whiskey, on adventures in the Southern Oceans. We preview Ocean to City, the Maritime Festival, and we'll have angling news from Inland Fisheries Ireland. All that and much more next Friday night. Until then, tight lines, fair sailing.